Turn your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It's right after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." One of the things I want you to understand about Gordon's testimony this morning on Romans 12 was it came from a heart that was meditating on the Word of God. You see, as he meditated on those verses and meditated on verse 1, then he meditated on verse 2, then he meditated on verse 3, and so on and so forth, God spoke to him and helped him apply those verses to his life and to our lives. That's what meditation does. Meditation is very important in our lives. According to this verse, God has given us a wonderful promise if we meditate on the Bible. God promises to make our actions profitable and successful as we meditate and observe His Word. Now, in other words, God's Word is so excellent in its instruction and teachings that He can guarantee success if we follow it. That's what He's saying to us here. But in order to follow God's Word, we must know what it says and how it applies to us. The best way to accomplish this is by meditating on God's Word. So what I would like us to do today is look at three people involved in the account of the birth of Christ, of the birth of Jesus, and see how meditation on the Bible positively affected their lives. In the process, I want us to see how meditation on Scripture can have a positive impact on your life so that you will be motivated to make meditation a habit. So that you will be motivated to make meditation on God's Word a habit. So let's take a look at Mary, Zacharias, and Simeon, and see how meditation on Scripture can positively impact their lives and our lives. Okay? Now, you have some scriptures in your bulletin you can look at, or you can turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is the song of Mary. We're going to read down to verse 55. It says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." This song of Mary, it shows something. It shows that when we meditate on Scripture, we will be able to experience great joy as we see God working in our lives. Understand, as you meditate on God's Word, you will be able to experience great joy as you see God working in your life. Now, as we look at this song of Mary, we see the heart of someone who has obviously meditated on God's Word in the past. Notice verse 55. Notice what it says. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. You see, this shows this past knowledge of the promises of God that God had made to her forefathers in the past. It shows that she understood these promises, and as she saw how God was working in her own life, it gave her great joy to see how God was fulfilling those promises. But it came from a heart that had been meditating on God's Word. That's what we see here. It also shows that she applied those promises to herself. She could see that God was working in her life. God was working in her life. Notice what it says verse 49. It says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." She saw that. She understood that God was working in her life, and those promises that he had made to her forefathers were also the promises that she could rely on. And she could see how God was fulfilling those promises in her own life, and it gave her such great joy. The language that she uses to praise God and express her joy is very similar to the scriptures where others praised God. We see in verse 47, it is similar to Habakkuk 3:18, how she rejoiced in her spirit in God her Savior. We see in verse 50, is similar to Psalm 103. Look at verse 50. It says, "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." If we would, let me read Psalm 103 for you so you understand how closely this is in language, and obviously shows that she had some knowledge of these praises to God. Look at verse 17 in Psalm 103. It says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." You see how similar that is? I mean, that's obviously someone who has meditated on this scripture before and using it to express praise to God. That's what God wants us to do. As we meditate on his word, he wants us to use that word in praise to him. As we see that we can rejoice because we have everlasting life, we should give praises to God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the joy you have given me because you have fulfilled your promise of eternal life to me." That is what we're talking about here. And that comes by meditating on God's Word. Verse 49 is similar to Psalm 77:12. Look at verse 49, it says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his holy is his name." So we see how these similar praises to God from past scriptures, like Psalm 77:12, will motivate us and give us great joy in our lives as we praise God and we see him working in our own lives. Now, what I want you to see is that because Mary had meditated on God's word in the past, she was able to see how God was working in her life very clearly. As a result, she was able to take great joy in seeing God's work in her life. Now, understand something. Our lives are not easy. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. We talked about the life of Job. His life was certainly not easy. However, God wants us to have joy in spite of our lives not being all rainbows and lollipops, okay? Now, he wants us to do that by knowing him and knowing that he is working in our lives. You know, when I can see how God is working in my life in a situation, even though that situation may not be pleasant, I can gain some joy from that. I can gain joy knowing that, okay, this may not be a pleasant circumstance that I'm going through right now, but I can see how God's is working in my life to work this thing for my good, right? Like Romans 8 tells us. He works all things for good to those who love God. So I want you to understand that there's this great joy that comes from knowing that God is working in your life and understanding how he is working in your life. But that only comes as you meditate on Scripture. If you don't meditate on the life of Job, if you don't meditate on the life of Job, you're really not gonna grasp the teachings that God wants you to apply to your life so that you can have joy when tough times come. You understand? It comes from meditation on God's word. He's put the story of Job's life in his word so that we would meditate on it, and when times of difficulty come in our lives, we can still have joy. That's what we're talking about here. And we see in the life of Mary someone who had meditated on God's word in the past, and it helped her see how God was working in her life and gave her great joy as she did. Now, I want us to look back at Luke chapter 1. I want us to see another person, Zacharias, and how meditation affected his life. Verse 67 of Luke chapter 1 says, "Now his father Zacharias," this is John the Baptist, talking about John the Baptist. Zacharias is John the Baptist's father. "Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for by you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of the death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now, the second thing I want you to understand is when we meditate on Scripture, we will be able to understand our relationship to the Savior. When we meditate on Scripture, when you meditate on Scripture, you will be able to understand your relationship to the Savior. I want you to notice verse 70. It says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. Now, here we see that Zacharias has an intimate knowledge of what God has said in the past. We see that. We see that he's able to tie all this together and understand what God is doing in his life and in the lives of others through the Savior because of how he understood the scriptures that he had meditated on in the past. Now, you may say, well, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't everyone who believes in Jesus Christ now filled with the Holy Spirit? Aren't we commanded in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, or 4, verse 18, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Right? So, we can tie things in as we meditate on God's Word as well. We can see how our relationship to the Savior is working in our lives as well. But it can only be as we meditate on the Scriptures. So, look at verse 72 and 73. It says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Now, Zacharias saw how the Lord was fulfilling his promises. How the Lord was fulfilling his promises. It would be by God's mercy, we're told in verse 70 and verse 78. It would be through the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born, and died on the cross and rose again to offer us forgiveness or remission of sins. So when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we're asking Him to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can have this relationship with Him. That's what Zacharias understood. He understood how these promises were being fulfilled through the Savior. And it would also be through giving us guidance. Notice what it says in verse 79 at the end. It says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way of peace. So it also, I also want you to notice the result of understanding his relationship with God. When we understand our relationship with God, it will bring you to peace. It will bring you to peace. You see, Mary's meditation on Scripture led to joy. And Zacharias's meditation led to peace. Peace and joy. Does anyone here want peace and joy? Isn't that what the Christmas season is all about? Peace and joy, comfort and joy. Well, understand that Mary's joy and Zacharias's peace came from meditating on God's Word. That's where it came from. That's how their hearts were prepared as they saw God working in their lives and God's promises being fulfilled. They were filled with joy and peace because they knew the Scriptures. They knew that God, how God was working all this out because they had meditated on His Word before and they could see His plan clearly before them. That is what we gain when we meditate on God's Word. Joy and peace. That's what we want in our lives. So let's meditate on the Scriptures. Think about that phrase as you go home today. To guide our feet in the way of peace. Meditate on that for a while. God doesn't want you all anxious, stressed out, freaking out about everything. He wants to guide you into peace. Wow. I chewed on that a little bit in my own heart and thought, okay, I need to seek the peace of God. And that's what we're talking about. That's how we meditate on it. All right? Now, finally, look at chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Okay? And I'm finishing up quickly, okay? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, there's peace again, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, finally, I want you to understand, when you meditate on Scripture, you will be able to see how your salvation will give you purpose. How your salvation will give you purpose. Notice we are told that Simeon was a devout man. We're told that he was a devout man. Now, in the context of the Jewish culture, this implied that Simeon was very familiar with the Scriptures. He was very familiar with the Scriptures. No doubt, Simeon spent many hours meditating on God's Word. That's what they would do as Jewish youngsters and as they grew up. They would meditate on God's Word. They would memorize God's Word. Notice Simeon recognizes that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's Word in verse 29. He says, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So we see that Simeon understands that Jesus is the Savior, but he also recognizes his purpose in all that is going on around him. He also understands his purpose in all that is going on around him. He was to declare that Jesus is the Savior and he will be the Savior of all people. And he was to say some things to Mary and Joseph so that they could understand a little bit about their son. So his purpose was made clear. As he was meditating on God's word and as he was led by the Holy Spirit, remember we talked about being led by the Holy Spirit last week. God, we asked God to show us what he wanted us to learn. He's revealing it to us. He wants us to be led by his Spirit and he wants us to meditate on his word. Because I promise you, if we do those two things, we're going to experience the same kind of joy and peace and purpose that Mary, Zacharias, and Simeon had in their lives. And that's what I want us to see. I want us to see that God has a purpose for us. God's purpose for us is the same as Simeon's. We are to declare the salvation of all people through Jesus Christ and what he will do in the future. The Bible is telling us this is our purpose. It also tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, you need a purpose worth living for. And there is no greater purpose on earth than to do what God has called us to do in declaring that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that he will save all people who come and believe in him. That is the purpose that we will thrive on. In order to thrive in life, you have to have a great purpose. God gives us a great purpose, but we must meditate on his word in order to know how to fulfill that purpose. Right? We say, yes, I know God wants me to tell others about Jesus Christ. Well, unless you meditate on the Bible, you're not going to know how to do that effectively. So we've got to meditate on Scripture in order to really fulfill our purpose so that we, like we heard this morning from Gordon's testimony, that we are to be of the same mind and work as a body. You know how that's going to happen? If we are all asking the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we are meditating on his word. If every one of us is doing that, if we're all meditating on his word daily and asking his Holy Spirit to lead us, I guarantee you we are going to work as a body like God wants, and we are going to fulfill his purpose for our church and for our lives. That's what we need. So how do we meditate on God's word? Philippians 4:8. You guys, some of you may be able to quote it. Philippians 4:8 says this: "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So the first thing I want you to understand is this is pure, lovely, righteous, good, a good report. When we meditate on this, we need to think about it. The Bible tells us to think on these things. So we want to think about these things. Read a verse, then think about it. Read it, and then think about it. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to read three chapters a day so I can get through the whole Bible in a year. And there's some merit to that, okay? But really, that's not meditation on God's word. Meditation on God's word is what we saw Gordon do this morning. He looked at a passage of Scripture, went through it verse by verse, thought about it, thought about how it applied to his life, and then he applied it. That's what we're to do. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we reflect on a verse. We need to use study helps. Now understand, God has given us some wonderful study helps. We have some of those study helps in the Sunday school room now. They were out on the vestibule, but we got the Christmas tree out there now. Use those study helps. You know, when I first became a Christian, the guy that was discipling me pointed to a book about this big and about that thick and handed it to me and said, "Here, you need to go to the store and buy one of these." It was the Strong's Concordance. Has every word in the Bible, okay? And then he handed me a Bible dictionary and said, "You need one of these Bible dictionaries. So if you don't understand a word, you can look it up and know what it means." That's what we need to do. As we're meditating on the Scripture, we need to have these helps to help us understand what the Bible says, okay? And then we need to read the verse repeatedly. Read it over and over again. So it gets into your heart, and God can kind of help you glean what he wants you to glean out of it, okay? And then reflect and apply it. Apply it to your life, okay? Apply it to your life. And I guarantee when you meditate on God's word like this, it will lead you to joy, peace, and purpose. Let's pray.